would like to call the House Ways and Means Committee to order. Today is March 11th, 2023. Let the record reflect that the time is 9:02 a.m. Today we have President Speaker Kathy Tilton, Representative Tom McKay, Representative Jamie Aller, Representative Cliff Groh, and myself, Representative Kevin McCabe. Little unusual today, I'm chairing the committee because Representative Ben Carpenter, Chairman Ben Carpenter's flight is delayed. I expect him, provided the winds die down and they can land, he'll be here in about a half hour. But because of our commitment to hear bills and to provide public testimony, Representative Carpenter called me last night. We talked and decided that we should let the hearing start as normal so as not to delay others too much, including public testimony. In the room with us, we also have Representative Ortiz. Thank you for joining us. I'd like to remind committee members and those in the audience to please silence or turn off your cell phones. The staff assisting us today is Kevin Allen with House Records, Sydney Truitt with the LIO, and Kendra Broussard as the committee aide. Thank you all for your service today. We're continuing the permanent fund discussion this morning. We have one resolution, and then we'll be taking public testimony on multiple permanent fund and permanent fund dividend bills and resolutions. Last week, we heard two bills and two resolutions that promote a possible permanent fund decision. HB 72 would make the PFD 25% of a 5% POMV draw from the permanent fund. HB 90 would provide a $1,000 annual dividend. HJR 7 would make the payment of a dividend constitutionally required and would remove the dividend from the annual appropriations process. HJR 8 would put the current dividend formula in the Constitution and remove the dividend size from the legislative process completely. This morning, we have one more option on the table. With that, would the presenters for HJR 9 please come forward, and we'll take an ease while we set up the process. Okay, Representative Groh staff, will you please put your names on the record and begin your testimony?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and thank you very much to the members of the committee. I'm Cliff Groh. I'm the state representative for House District 18, and I would like my staff member to put himself on record as well.
And Cameron Ebersold, staff to Representative Cliff Groh,
for the record. And thank you very much for hearing this resolution, this House Joint Resolution 9, the percent of market value appropriation limit. When the permanent fund was created back in 1976, it was structured as two accounts, the principal, also called by some the corpus, and the earnings reserve account, known as the ERA for short. The Alaska Constitution prohibits the spending of the principal without a vote of the people. However, profits generated by the permanent fund are deposited into the earnings reserve account, the ERA, and the ERA is entirely available for the legislature to appropriate and spend. The current value of the ERA is it's more than $13 billion now. That's $13 billion with a big B. Overdraw of the ERA depletes the value of the entire permanent fund and leaves Alaska worse off. In 2018, the legislature adopted statutes that allow appropriation up to an amount that maintains the growth of the fund, of the permanent fund. This plan is commonly known as the percent of market value, or POMV draw. However, the statutes adopted in 2018 do not stop the legislature from passing budgets and spending permanent fund earnings beyond those sustainable limits. This resolution would send a proposed amendment to Alaska voters to enshrine this policy in the Alaska Constitution. The proposed constitutional amendment before you today would combine the permanent fund principal and the permanent fund earnings reserve account into a single constitutionally protected account. Under this proposed amendment, the legislature would be allowed to appropriate each year a maximum of 5% of the market value of that new constitutionally safeguarded account as calculated with the first five of the preceding six fiscal years. Experts have told the legislature that these limits make that spending limit sustainable. These limits are, of course, the same ones that are currently in effect under the statutes, the POMV statutes. The Permanent Fund's Board of Trustees has recommended this change in four different resolutions starting in 2000. And this constitutional amendment was also urged by the Fiscal Policy Working Group, a bipartisan and bicameral group of legislators that issued a report in 2021. This measure is not, does not, and should not deal with the size of the Perm Fund dividend or what specific percentage of this appropriation is spent on state services. This measure neither encourages nor prevents legislators from pursuing those plans in the future. This measure merely prevents the state from overspending a renewable financial resource which ensures the permanence of our permanent fund. I'm happy to take questions. I would also think it'd be appropriate at this point for Mr. Ebersold to do a brief sectional analysis, given it is a very brief measure.
Thanks, Representative Groh. And Mr. Ebersold, go ahead with the sectional analysis. That would be great.
Thank you. Through the chair, Cameron Ebersold, for the record. Section 1 of this would amend Article 9, Section 15 of Alaska's state constitution so that that the income earned by the permanent fund is retained by the fund's sole account, which is created by Section 3. And the only exceptions to this are detailed in the next section. Section 2 amends Article 9, Section 15 with two subsections. Subsection B allows the legislature in each fiscal year to appropriate from the fund only up to 5% of the average market value of the fund over the preceding six fiscal years. And subsection C allows the Permanent Fund Corporation to pay costs associated with investments from the fund. Section 3 amends Article 15 with a new section, 30. And this section deposits the balance of the earnings reserve account into the principal, unifying the permanent fund into a single account. It also specified that the proposed amendments apply to appropriations made during the fiscal year ending June 30, 2026, and thereafter. And Section 4 would place these amendments before state voters at the next general election. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? So I don't see any from other committee members yet, but I've got two concerns. Representative McKay, go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, and thank you for being here, Mr. Groh and Mr. Emerson. So just so the public can hear, how would we pay permanent fund dividends out of this program if it were to pass?
Through the chair, thank you, Representative McKay. Basically, the same way that the legislature does now, the legislature would vote. The legislature, under the last Supreme Court's decision, the Wilikowski case, provides for that and under the Constitution. This resolution, so there's two ways here. Another thing I would add was that this resolution does not attempt to address the permanent fund dividend. Which I would say two things about. Number one, as I frequently said, I helped create Lowe these years ago, but it's also a separate issue, the permanent fund dividend. We already have heard measures in this body, may hear others, that would do exactly that, address what the dividend level would be in the future. Because so many legislators do not see eye to eye on the precise level of the dividend going forward, this measure focuses on the simple common sense solutions to provide fiscal stability and prevent the legislature from overspending. I have sometimes said this measure may be too conservative for some of the members of the legislature, including perhaps some members of this committee. You'll have to decide that yourself. But I do think that this is a way of protecting the permanent fund from overspending or overdrawing in the future.
So follow-up, please, Mr. Chairman. So I guess we're a little bit slow this morning. So if we roll, I think the current value of the permanent fund corpus is maybe about $76 billion. Maybe
close. It changes some month to month, but sure.
Something like that.
Close.
I think in your write-up it says the earnings reserve account is $16 billion. I think you said $13 billion earlier.
I said more than $13 billion because I think that's actually useful to point out. Mr. Ebersold took that number from the last year's financial report, the $16 billion. The current number that's on the front page of the website, which is more this month, right, would be more than $13 billion. That's why I said more than $13 billion now.
Through the chair, please, Joe.
Thank you. Through the chair.
Yeah, through the chair. So if we added, if you take the corpus plus the ERA, you're getting up around $90 billion. give or take. We'll just use round numbers for discussion, I think. And so 5% of that be $4.5 billion, for example?
I'm going to let we happen to have Mr. Devin Mitchell, the CEO and executive.
I didn't want to get into the weeds too far. I just
got this
through the chair, please.
Okay, through the chair, please. Through the chair, Representative McCabe, and Representative McKay, I do think it's that I would defer the actual precise numbers to Mr. Mitchell, the CEO and executive director of Permanent Fund, whose corporation is here today. But roughly, we're talking about those numbers. And I would note also, as I said, the value of the Permanent Fund obviously changes at least month to month, if not day to day.
So any other questions from committee members? So my question, Representative Groh, I appreciate you bringing this forward. As always, we need to get all the meaning in the pool, and I appreciate the effort that's gone into this with you and your committee. And maybe my question is better directed to Ms. Nauman, who I see is online, but once again, page 1, line 15 and 16, a little unusual to see in a constitutional amendment, the word may. It says each fiscal year the legislature may appropriate from the permanent fund to the general fund an amount that is not more than 5%. So doesn't really say 5% in my opinion, and it doesn't really say we have to do it. So that's not what the fiscal policy working group said. The fiscal policy working group actually said our amendment would be the legislature shall, in other words, HJR, I think it's 8. So I'm wondering if that was intentional or if it was part of the ledge legal drafting. And
I'm going to defer to your advice and defer to Ms. Nauman, who actually drafted that language, although the intent was the maximum 5%. So I understand Ms. Nauman's on the phone.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Nauman.
For the record, this is Emily Nauman, Legislative Legal Services. The may versus shall discussion that just occurred is really a policy decision once the legislature, the chair is correct that having the legislature may appropriate not more than 5% allows the legislature to appropriate nothing or up to the 5%. There might be policy reasons why a legislature might want to pull less than 5% off of the fund in any given year, perhaps due to the performance of the fund, but that's more of a policy issue than a legal one.
Thank you, Ms. Nauman. Any further questions? Representative Allard.
Thank you. Through the chair, Ms. Nauman?
Ms. Nauman, yes.
Through the chair, thank you for being here today. Is she part of, I'm sorry, Ledge Legal, okay. Could you, I know the difference, but I want the public to hear. Can you please give us the legal difference between the word may and shall?
Again, for the record, Emily Nauman, Legislative Legal Services, through the chair. May is permissive. It allows the allows the legislature to do something. Shall is a requirement. It would require the legislature to take a certain action.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it. Thank you, Chair.
Any further questions? Representative Groh, and wrap up, possibly.
Thanks again, Mr. Chairman. I urge this committee's prompt and favorable consideration of this measure, which, as I said, was recommended by the Fiscal Policy Working Group, of which, as pointed out before, it's been pointed out before, two members of this committee were served on back in 2021. And it was one of a package of a comprehensive solution that the Fiscal Policy Working Group recommended be adopted comprehensively and simultaneously. And I do, like I said, urge the committee's prompt and favorable consideration. The intent, as I said, was to spend no more than 5% of that average, and we want to maintain the permanent fund sustainably in the future and not overspend. Thanks a lot.
So Representative Globe, apparently Representative Allard has one more final question.
I do, and thank you, and through the chair, and I apologize. I'm still waking up a little bit. It's Saturday. But I understand that you had referred it to legal in regards to the word may, and it gives the legislature they could basically do what they want with the uses of the word may versus the word shall. Why do you want it to say may? Because I don't know if that actually gives, if this was to pass, it gives our Alaskans confidence that it would stay in effect with may. We could just literally do whatever we want.
Through the chair, I guess I would say that there's and I would ask Ms. Nauman to address this. The intent was to have a firm cap of the 5%, right, on the not, so the legislature may not spend more than 5%. It can spend up to 5%. It can spend less than 5%. And I would ask Ms. Nauman through the chair, if possible, to address that again.
So, Ms. Nauman, did you hear the question?
I believe so. And for the record, again, this is Emily Nauman, Legislative Legal Services, and Representative Groh's description of his resolution is correct. This would allow the legislature to draw up to 5% each year if they wished. There might be a year in the future where the legislature wishes to draw less than the full 5%, perhaps, for instance, due to the, say, the performance of the fund, or perhaps the money isn't needed in that year. And that's my understanding of the policy reason for the flexibility. But again, it is purely a policy choice and is not a legal one.
Thanks, Ms. Nauman. We appreciate it. So, Representative Groh?
Can we still do a follow-up?
I'm sure.
Yeah, thank you. And Representative Groh, I understand the legal definition. She went over that a few times already through the chair. My concern is, I want your opinion. I see that you're doing this because, for me, it doesn't give any confidence to Alaskans if you use the word may versus the word shall. They're still not in control of what is going on, and it's concerning to me.
Through the chair, my response would be that the intent as stated and is carried through by the drafter, the legislative attorney that we just heard in Ms. Nauman, that the legislature can spend up to 5%, but no more than 5%. So that's what the legal interpretation is in terms of which carries out the policy of this being having a legislative appropriation of up to 5%.
So thanks, Representative Groh. I appreciate that. So I think so. Your intent here is just to have a 5% cap.
Correct. And Mr. Chairman, I think Mr. Ebersold might have an additional clarification on that.
Mr. Ebersold.
Cameron Ebersold, staff director of the chair. I think I understand what you're asking, Rep. Allard. The permanent fund dividend, the amount that's appropriated to it, is different than the permanent fund, the appropriation from the permanent fund itself. If later you as representatives would like to clarify, you shall spend this much on permanent fund dividends, that's still on the table for you. This merely keeps any amount that we withdraw from the permanent fund to be sustainable. So that way the fund doesn't eventually get eaten away at and go away. Because what happens then?
Mr. Chairman, if I could through the chair.
Representative Groh.
It's important to state that this resolution before the committee right now does not address levels of permanent fund dividends. What it addresses is the amount of the draw from the permanent fund itself. Thank you.
Appreciate that. Any other questions? All right, Representative Groh, thank you very much for presenting HDR 9 to the committee. I'll take a brief at ease and
thank
allow
you
to return to your seats. Back on the record, now that there are multiple options on the table for solutions to the permanent fund and the permanent fund dividend, we will now let the public have an opportunity to give their input into the different options we have before us. So I now open public testimony on HDR 9, HDR 8, HDR 7, HB 90, and HB 72. Out of respect for the participants wanting to call in, we will be sticking to a two-minute time limit for public testimony. We also have a cutoff time for receiving callers into the queue. That time will be 11 a.m. We will continue taking the calls that are in the queue until we get everyone. I would also like to inform the public that they can also submit written testimony to house.ways.and.means@akleg.gov. So let me say first, is there anyone in the room who would like to give public testimony? It looks like Teresa Filbrich.
Excuse me, that was a mistake. I was just signing in as a person here today to observe and listen.
Okay.
My apologies.
No worries. No worries, man. Is there anybody else in the room that would like to come forward and give public testimony? Okay, then. Next up, we have online, I'll just start from the top. So we have John Miller from the Matsu Valley, and he is representing himself. Mr. Miller, if you're online, please go ahead with your public testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Yes, hi. My name is John Miller. I am an Alaska resident for going on 50 years. I'm speaking on my own behalf and the behalf of my wife, my children and their spouses, and my 20 grandchildren. I am opposed to HB 90, but I'm calling in support of HJR 7 and HJR 8. I am in support of returning back to the original historic formula used successfully for approximately 35 years. In 2016, this stable process was destroyed without any consent of the people and has been a major point of contention ever since. The people feel betrayed and they no longer believe legislatures have their best interest in mind, but believe that the permanent fund is used to pay back the special interest groups and unions who funded their elections. For the sake of our children and our grandchildren, I would ask you to follow the law and the original formula that was put in place. It's worked successfully for 35 years, and stop trying to manipulate and find loopholes in the original formula until we return to the original formula. It's always going to be contention, and the people are not going to feel like they've been represented properly. Thank you very much for your testimony. Thank you, Ben Carpenter, Representative Carpenter, for bringing this forward, and for Kevin McCabe hearing me today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Miller, and thank you for your great testimony. We appreciate it. Next, we'll go to Ed Martin from Kenai.
Yes, thank you, Chairman McCabe, and Ben Carpenter, and Speaker of the House, and other members of this committee. I've been calling in for many years, and if we want to talk about how long we've been Alaskans, my wife and I have been over 58 years. In fact, in a few days, we'll be married 50 years. We are great-grandparents of five-generation Alaskans. The first-generation Alaskan, Ed Martin Sr., came to the legislature in 99, I believe it was, and he was part of the Save the Dividend campaign, some of which you may be old enough and your staff to remember that vote, that advisory vote, of which we recommended to the legislature not to ever touch the permanent fund dividend as it was established in 82. And that is the full statutory amount. Yet, Chairman and other members of the committee, some of you have voted for budgets that defy the statute and the law. And whatever the Supreme Court did not mandate that you change the law. I would assume that our Supreme Court would want you to follow the law. Okay? So, 7. I'll take that on first. Whoever drafted this, and then the second paragraph of the sponsor statement, it says it's simple and most importantly, it's sustainable. That is a blatant lie. Nobody in that room has a crystal ball. Then let's go to the second one, $1,000. That is a slap in the face to the people that own the resources and the investments that have been made and the return on those investments. Follow the law. Now, the fourth one you have there, constitutional amendment. I'm in support of that. Absolutely. It's time. Quit playing around and not following the law. We got to put it in this Constitution for you folks to follow the law. That's unimaginable to me. Your oaths of office demand you follow the law.
Hey, Mr. Martin, thank you. You've reached your 2 minutes. I appreciate your testimony. Next, we will go to Misty Cole from Nikiski.
Good morning. I'm just calling. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling today from Nikiski. Just me and my family. We don't benefit in any way from money that's taken from the PFD. No special interest rates or unions supported here. I'm calling this morning in support of HJR 7 and HJR 8, and I am not supportive of HB 72, HB 90, and HJR 9. And that completes my testimony. Thank you guys for taking the time to hear me.
Thanks, Ms. Cole. We appreciate your testimony. I'd like to remind everybody that might be listening that the call-in phone number is 844-586-9085, and you just tell the LIO person that answers that you would like to testify in House Ways and Means Committee this morning. So once again, 844-586-9085. So next we will go to Donald Mitchell of Ketchikan. Mr. Mitchell, please put yourself on record and begin your testimony.
Yes, I'm Don Mitchell, and I've lived in Alaska for 51 years. My grown family lives here. There are many benefits of me living here besides the sheer beauty of Alaska. Over the last 50 years, I've received competent, consistent government services without paying state tax. However, things have changed. We now have inadequate and inconsistent funding for our state services. Our roads here are horrible. The ferry system is unreliable. Funding for state employees is difficult. Lastly, the way the PFD is structured hurts the election process. The amount of the PFD is being used as an irresponsible tool to obtain votes. HB 72 would provide reliability and consistency to the state services and the permanent fund dividend. I ask your support for House Bill 72. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mitchell. Next, we'll go to Sarah Campbell from Ketchikan. Ms. Campbell, please put yourself on record and begin your testimony.
Good morning. My name is Sarah Campbell. I'm calling from Ketchikan, Alaska. I'm speaking on behalf of myself. For the record, I'm a public school teacher and a resident of Alaska for 48 years. We have a beautiful state that we need to continue to fund. As a public school teacher, I'm a strong supporter of increasing the BSA. I also would like to see the state return to a defined benefit for our state employees so that people here who provide service to the state have an actual livable wage in their retirement. That's going to cost money. I'm a huge proponent of fully funding state services because I believe we need to invest in our state. And the permanent fund dividend, oh, my goodness, what a contentious issue. It shapes elections, and it definitely is bringing us here on a Saturday today. So thank you to the committee. You guys have a hard road ahead. House Bill 72, it seems very fair. Alaskans will get some sort of dividend that they can count on, but even more, Alaskan citizens will know that they have money to provide services for the state. This is equally distributed to all. So thank you for your support and allowing me to speak today. I'm in support of HB 72. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Campbell. I appreciate it. I'd also like to remind callers that we're going to try to limit our testimony to the HDR 7, HDR 8, HDR 9, HB 72, and HB 90. I realize that many other things impact those, but let's try to keep it to the resolutions at hand. Next, we're going to go to Michael Garhart of Wasilla. Michael, please, or Mr. Garhart, please put your name on record and begin your testimony.
This is Michael Garhart. I'm representing myself and all Alaskans for the PFD. The only one of these that I support is HJR 7. There's been way too much money taken from the PFD from the public going back into the 1990s. It was tracked. $27.3 billion had been stolen prior to deposit into the accounts. And our state, over half of our state legislatures were questioned about that for 10 years. Six promised answers. None were ever given. So the only one I support is HJR 7. and we need to stay with the laws on the books with the original Hammond plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Garhart. I appreciate your testimony. Next, we'll go to Antonio Leonard of Eagle River. Please put your name on record and begin your testimony.
Yes, hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, hello, this is Antonio Leonard. I'm calling from Eagle River and I represent myself. When I called in, I was gonna ask to speak to each subject matter, you know, each bill or House joint resolution separately. However, I was told to just lump it into one, so I'm gonna do my best here. I'm on a learning curve, so I'm listening to everything. I'm calling in whenever I want to, and please forgive me because I'm not super knowledgeable. What I can tell you is that in attempting to read the legalese you guys have put down on these House bills and House joint resolutions, don't really, it's just a bunch of blah, blah, blah. But what I can tell you is that the original founder of the PSD was giving a stake in this land and the resources, and we were supposed to get paid out of the funds that were generated from people profiting. And I know that seems like there's a little bit of dyslexia going on. I saw something like a 75 to 25 ratio, and I'm pretty sure you should flip that to 25 to 75, and we'd probably let a lot of our state-funded needs would go away because we'd have enough money individually to make decisions based upon schools and building new schools with our own money, because that's a lot of money. But somebody should do the math. And I think that any time the legislature wants to dip in, whether it's up to 5% or may go over, as the words are so eloquently written, that they should have to bring that to a vote. They'll know in advance, at least a year or two, and they should bring it to a vote and let the people decide how much they get to take from our money. That's where I'm at. So, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Leonard. We appreciate your testimony, and we appreciate you paying attention and learning as much as you can. Next, we're going to go to Bert Huftaling of Big Lake. Mr. Huftaling, please put your name on record and begin your testimony.
Hi, my name is Bert Huftaling. I represent myself. I'm from Big Lake, Alaska. I also speak for my child and about 5,000 other Alaskans that are really concerned about what's going on with the permanent fund dividend. We would like to be able to see bills that you have presented before us, HJR 8, be the only one that be allowed to move forward. Any of the other ones is just painting lipstick on the pig again, and putting the control of the permanent fund dividend in any future it may have for the benefit of all Alaskans, which was its sole intent, needs to be put back into the power of the people, not you, the legislators. The final bill that was presented there, HK8, that particular bill, does nothing but puts the corpus into the control of Alaska legislators for the future. And that is something that should never be allowed. That is the only thing that has kept you from, in the last 8 years, from doing exactly that, is we, the people, have the power over it in the Constitution. And if you were to combine the two funds, that would make it so that legislators now also have that control and power over the corpus, something that should not be allowed. I support HJR 7. As long as the formula is statute of what it's been for the last past four decades prior to the first theft of Governor Walker when he vetoed half of the permanent fund dividend, and then the PLMV law, which is 100% in conflict with the statutory PFD law. I would also like to make point that the alleged legal and their definition of shall and may be the clinical definition that you find within the dictionary or within legal law books. Until you look at the Supreme Court case with Willikowski, when they define shall and may means the exact same thing. I think you need to update your definitions with ledge legal to actually reflect what the current laws in Alaska are in relation to those particular two words. Thank you for allowing me to testify today. Again, have a nice one.
Thank you, Mr. Huftaling. I appreciate you keeping it at 2 minutes. And for those that might want to call in again, let me reiterate the phone number. It's 844-586-9085. And That's toll-free, and you can ask the LIO administrator to put you in with House Ways and Means. From Juneau, if you're calling in, it's 586-9085 with a 907 in front of it, and from Anchorage, 907-563-9085. So I realize that's a little bit complicated. You can also find our numbers on the akleg.com website. Next, we'll go to Sarana Shell from Anchorage. Please put your name on the record and begin your testimony.
Hi, my name is Sarah Nichelle. I live currently in Anchorage. I'm down in Tasiilaq, where I also have my mom's property. And I am calling to testify in support of the sustainability of the permanent fund. If I've correctly picked this up from many a discussion over the recent years, that pulling really large dividends feels great. I love getting lots of money, but I am willing to put a cap on the PFD in order to protect the sustainability of the permanent fund for my children, grandchildren, and everyone's grandchildren into the future. And I am just calling in support of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Shell. Next, we'll go to Jamelia Saeed of Anchorage. Ms. Saeed, please put your name on the record and begin your testimony.
My name is Jamelia Saeed. I am in Anchorage, Alaska. I am representing myself. I want to say I have now spent an hour on hold trying to review the different bills that you are looking at and cannot find that information on the state website. I am calling on a general comment, which I think will quickly relate to which bill I am supporting. I have been a resident of Alaska for 61 years. Since 1959. I think the permanent fund dividend served a very valuable purpose. I think it is time that we end it, period, and reestablish an income tax. I realize that is not politically possible. So whatever bill is the least amount of the PFD that we can provide is what I am supporting. And I believe that is Representative Gosch bill. But as I said, I couldn't find the exact numbers. I think that was, you know, pretty much where I am at. We need to have state services, and if we do a full permanent fund, we cannot, we don't have the money for the state services that are desperately needed. Thank you for listening to my comments.
Thank you, Ms. Saeed. Next, we have Royal Keel from Anchorage. Please put yourself on the record, Mr. Keel, and begin your testimony.
Hi, this is Royal Keel. I live in Anchorage, and I'm representing myself and my wife. We've lived in Alaska since 1974, when we used to pay our own way with an income tax like they do in most other states. Without intending to do so, we have turned Alaska into a welfare state, with every citizen believing they cannot live without their PFD. When we cannot afford to live up to our state responsibilities because of these annual payouts, the PFD has become a true addiction. Large PFDs interfere with paying for quality education for our students and for adequate funding for our state ferry system, for example. It would be painful to give up these annual money bombs, but it has really gotten out of hand, with people believing it is their God-given right to get this money they have not worked for. Let's reduce the PFD to $1,000 per individual with an annual inflationary increase. And let's proceed to fund the necessary services to make our state an excellent place to live and which will allow our citizens of Alaska to travel throughout the state to conduct their business efficiently. Perhaps a year should be allowed before this bill, I'm referring to House Bill 90, before this bill is implemented to allow citizens to plan for this change. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Next, we'll go to Randy Griffin of Fairbanks. Mr. Griffin, please put yourself on record and begin your testimony. Mr. Griffin. Okay, we'll come back to him. Let's try Nick Abramchek of Palmer. Mr. Abramchek, please put your name on record and begin your testimony. Okay, we'll go one more. Rachel Lord. Ms. Lord, please put your name on record and begin your testimony.
Hello, Chair and members of the House Ways and Means Committee. Thank you for hearing public testimony this morning. My name is Rachel Lord. I'm live in Homer, and I'm speaking for myself this morning. I'm calling in to support an increase in state revenues through a heavier reliance on permanent fund earnings and thus a reduced PFD to actually fund state services. And I do support House Bill 72. I will say I qualify that, echoing some comments that a previous testifier noted, that really increasing broad-based revenues to the state, I think, is the right way forward, and maybe some combination of the two. But a broad-based income tax is how there's got to be some way to pay for these services. At the city level and the borough level, our citizens are directly tied to the services they receive, at least here in the Kenai Peninsula, through property and sales taxes, funding schools, roads, troopers, and all of that at the state level. The money has to come from somewhere. As a business owner, and, you know, we talk about wanting to increase, you know, the economic opportunity and economic development. Businesses can only thrive where there is stability in the public sector. And when we continue to undermine the quality in public services, we're simply pushing our state further down the line in every possible way. Senator Murkowski was correct. We shouldn't settle for being 49th in anything except statehood. But just talking about it, endlessly speaking of efficiencies, is not getting us anywhere. You have to invest in what you believe in, or we are going to continue down this path. I don't see how anything is going to shift for the better without an actual financial investment. And when we talk about investing in state services, everyone in the state gets benefits from state services through our roads, through our troopers, through our schools, and through appropriate staffing for responsiveness from state agencies, from the Department of Health to DEC and DNR, to follow through on their responsibilities under the law. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lord. We appreciate your testimony. And I think right now we'll take a brief at ease, and then we'll go to our next on-the-phone testifier.
Okay, we're back on the record, and Chair Carpenter has arrived, and I would also like the record to reflect that Representative Summer has joined us at about 9:48 this morning. So without further ado, I think we'll continue here with public testimony. Next up is Ms. Diane Holmes from Anchorage. Diane, if you are there and can hear me, you may put yourself on the record by giving us your name and your affiliation and begin your two-minute testimony.
I'm Diane Holmes, speaking for myself and as an Alaskan resident since statehood. I agree with prior callers who said we've all benefited from services without taxes so far. However, services have been based mostly on oil, and we know the ups and downs of the state budget from that. Services should always come first. Education, transportation, including rain highways, public health and safety, and like child protective services. Just think of the last few years with the need to deal with COVID and today with severe education needs, and how can we forget this winter with snow plowing on state roads, many of which here in Anchorage aren't yet properly plowed. But with any of the PFD plans before you, that those that are based on a percentage of split, that will always impact services. Listen to the economists who tell you what might work. We do not need large PFDs when it means the services are gone. Everyone who wants a large PFD would be hollering if they didn't have their roads plowed or their kids had to go to class with 40 kids. I would really urge you to listen to the economists that you have probably heard many times. Even a 25-75 split will take away eventually in certain economic conditions from the need for our services. So listen to the experts. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Holmes, for your testimony. And next up, Jan Kanitz. I'm sorry if I mispronounced your last name. You can correct me. Looks like calling from Moscow, Idaho, a Juneau resident. If you can put yourself on the record and begin your two-minute testimony, that'd be great.
Hello. Yes, this is Jan Kanitz, and I am calling on behalf of myself. I am interested in this topic with HB 90 about the PFD amount. I've been concerned about the debates and the policies in the last few years, probably the last 10 years, about this matter. I'm really concerned that the legislature is spending so much time debating this single issue and not taking care of other business. And I see that our state is gradually or maybe even quickly being bankrupted by continuing to pay out these unaffordable and unreasonably high PFD payments to every man, woman, and child in Alaska, regardless of need. I think the PFD payment is a symbolic good thing because it gives every Alaskan a sense of ownership in our state, but it should just be that. It should be symbolic. It should not be considered part of someone's living or in any way to meet a family's budget or any individual's needs or aspirations. I'm concerned that the annual debate on the PFD amounts is crowding out so much attention on much more important debate and dialogue over state policies and which essential services and how much we have and how much funding they need. Number one on the list is good public education. And it's just disgraceful that we would shortchange public education that we have to the extent in recent years and pay people these large sums of money regardless of need. We also need better transportation. We had a good transportation network when I first lived here in the 1970s. It's deteriorated, especially the marine highways. We really need to support our higher education system. It's really gone downhill. I have a master's degree from the University of Alaska, and I was proud to be a UA graduate, but I see that the access to education is so much more limited now, and we really need to support that if we're going to grow economically. Also, economic development, care for seniors and people with disabilities are high on the list of things that need legislative attention and funding. And I think a fixed limited PFD, like I said, it's a symbolic thing. It helps people have buy-in to the state, and I support that, but it should not bankrupt us. I think we need a better sense of civic responsibility and personal responsibility in this state to go forward. And I heard some other callers supporting an income tax, and I, you know, I too would support that. I think that's an important part of our revenue picture. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Connors, for your comments today. I appreciate it. And I think we'll go back and see if Mr. Randy Griffin is on the line, calling from Fairbanks. Mr. Griffin, are you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Mr. Griffin, you may proceed with your testimony. Please put yourself on the record by giving us your name and your affiliation and begin your two-minute testimony.
Okay, thank you. My name is Randy Griffin. I'm calling from Fairbanks, Alaska, PO Box 73653. I'm commenting on HJR 7 and HJR 8. I feel that the dividend has no place in the Constitution. I'm all for the PFD. I took many thousands of dollars of PFD from when it first came out in 82 all the way up to 20, 14. Then I stopped taking it. I mean, I apply for it and I get the paper check, but I always send it back. In fact, I just now sent my 2022 check back, an amount of $3,284, back to the Permanent Fund Dividend Division. And in my letter, I cited that I was very grateful for it and was tempted to keep it, and that's kind of why I held on to it so long. But in the final analysis, I heard that we may have a budget deficit, and also we have not paid back our CBR like we're supposed to by law. That saved our bacon when the price of oil crashed, and it hadn't really been substantially paid back yet, and so I felt uncomfortable, so I sent it back. And but the main reason I'm against putting the PFD into the Constitution is because I'm in favor of a true and honest dividend, which in the business world means something based on surplus or profit. And if it becomes an income transfer payment, then it's no longer a dividend. It's simply a public assistance payment. And public assistance is okay, you know, when there's a need. Something guaranteed, a universal basic income, a guaranteed handout, free money should never be put into the Constitution. That's not what the Constitution is for. And I love free money, but I want to only collect a dividend if it's a true and honest dividend based on surplus. And I don't want to put a flashing neon sign in the Constitution to the rest of the nation and the rest of the world that says, come on up here and get your guaranteed free money. It's a guaranteed human right to get paid for doing nothing. And that's just not a good thing. So that's my comment.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin, for your comments today. And let's see, we will go to next up, Mr. Nick Abrams. I am not sure how to pronounce your last name. If you can give us
Mr. Bronchek.
Thank you very much. If you can begin your 2-minute testimony. Put yourself on the record by giving us your name and your affiliation.
Yes, my name is Nicholas Bronchek, and I'm a resident of Alaska and living in Palmer. And I also like to say hello to Speaker Tilton. I was born in Alaska and had the opportunity to be raised here in the great state. And then I spent a lot of my career outside of Alaska for various opportunities. And it gives you opportunity to see and learn about how other states fund their governments and also take care of their citizens. And I think Alaska's done a great thing in establishing the fund itself and how it's grown and where it is today. I think the position that the legislators that you're in, and thank you for stepping up and serving our state, you need to go back to 1980 and look at the economic situation that the state was in and the population that we had at the time, which was a third less than we have today, if not more. And just put yourself in where they were at then and where we're at today. And certainly we've seen over the last 10 years in the state an economic challenge that was not present in the 1980s. All the bills that you have presented offer various, I think, solutions. They also offer different opportunities. And I think you really need to look and evaluate the entire revenue streams that Alaska has and also the obligations that we have to help this great state. And thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, sir, for your testimony. And next up, we'll go to Mr. Philip Tafts, calling from Anchorage. Sir, if you can put your name on the record and your affiliation and begin your 2-minute testimony.
Yeah, hello. My name is Philip Tafts. I'm representing myself. I'm a small business owner in Anchorage, Alaska. I've got about 28 employees. I'm actually born and raised in Alaska. I'm a product of the Alaska public education system from kindergarten through my master's degree at the university. And I just wanted to testify today that I do believe we need to fully fund services first. I love our PFD. I think it's something that really brings a unique characteristic of Alaska, and it does let us, you know, enjoy the ownership of our resources. But I don't believe that we can have giant PFDs that don't allow us to fully fund services. I also don't support putting stuff in the Constitution and making things permanent. I think as a state, the last several years have shown us we need to maintain our flexibility in how we fund stuff, so that we don't paint ourselves into a corner that we can't get out of. And I do believe we need to continue to build revenue in other ways as we get off of oil. But in the meantime, we're going to need to use the permanent fund as a way of being able to fund our services. As a small business owner, I can get through most anything, but I need
I need consistency. I need a way to be able to plan for something and not have each legislative session become, quite frankly, a situation where I'm a little bit fearful because I don't know what's going to come out of it. And though it's not directly on target for this, I'm also really tired of the culture wars. I wish we could get through funding our education, funding our state services, and get through the process, do it in a timely manner. Waiting until the last minute in August for special sessions really creates a very difficult business environment. And I also feel that anybody who needs that permanent fund that helps them through the year, they need the fully funded services even more. And it, as a business owner, it allows me to employ people. It allows me to be able to grow my business. And so, yep, I do support fully funding services. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tafts. Right on time with your 2 minutes. I appreciate that, and I appreciate your comments. And I just want to remind those that might be watching, it looks like we're at the top of the hour here, that if you want to call in with your testimony from Juneau, you can call in 907-586-9085, and from Anchorage, 907-563-9085. And from all other areas, 844-586-9085. Next up, we will go to Ms. Candy Miller from Matsu Valley. Ms. Miller, if you can put yourself on the record with your name and any affiliation you have and begin your two-minute testimony.
Yes, my name is Candy Miller. I'm representing myself, my family, our family, and grandchildren, great-grandchildren. So because of our personal experience, when we switched to a different health insurance, we literally saved 70%. And there's the Alaska budget could go from red to black if people would do the math and choose their own, this is not only health insurance, but they, and the state of Alaska could, when you take the money out of the government hands and put it into the people's hands, they will make choices that will save the government and themselves thousands of dollars. I found out when we saved literally 70% by switching to a different health care, I found out that at that time, may have been 6 years ago, one teacher's health insurance in the valley was $22,000 for just the teacher. And the health care that we switched to was only $2,000 a year. And it was more expensive. I think in Kenai area, one teacher's health insurance was $24,000. And I talked to other people too. I understand from a nurse that they were just one nurse's insurance was like $22,000.
Ms. Miller.
And another thing too,
Ms.
There's
Miller.
A plan to develop oil and gas and not increase taxes. That plan was coming out as an alternative to what was going on or being proposed and explored when Governor Walker was governor. I have a copy of that plan. We heard someone speak about it.
Ms. Miller, can I interrupt you for just 1 second? The public testimony that we're hearing today is on some permanent fund dividend related bills. I understand that you're speaking to a broader topic of cost of government, perhaps. Do you have any specific comments on the legislation that's before us?
Yes, I'm in favor of HJR 7. I believe getting the keeping the money in the permanent fund to what it was meant to be should go into the hands of we the people, and they can direct the money. And so it's there's no concerns about needing to raise taxes if there's a choice that we the people have and to keep the money in the people's hands and switch it out of the government's hands. So there's not any concern that I have there. And choosing choice is a major factor in doing the math. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Miller. I appreciate your comments today. Next up, we have Michael Busey calling in from Juneau. If you can put yourself on the record by giving us your name and your affiliation and begin your testimony.
Yeah, thank you. My name is Michael Busey. I'm a resident of Juneau, and thank you for allowing me to testify. It's not a specific, well-researched point that I'm making here. Otherwise, to voice a general my general concerns about the situation of the state. I've been lifelong multi-generational Alaskan receiving the permanent funds since 1982. And I'm also a teacher and a parent, and I'm watching the school disintegrate before my eyes. I'm against making the permit fund permanent. I guess putting it into a constitutional guarantee. Although I would like to see legislation that would make it a ceiling to what the permit fund can be. And a reasonable ceiling. There's an opportunity cost that we're seeing in education particularly, where I was flabbergasted to hear the governor come out this last fall and say and propose a nearly $4,000 permit fund in conjunction with nothing for an increase in the base student allocation. And that motivated me to organize a rally for education at that time at the Capitol. It was very successful and very well supported. It's a philosophical conundrum that where I do appreciate what the permit fund has done for our own family. We've saved money for our children's college, and that's meant a lot. And I know for some families, they count on the permit fund to make ends meet. What I would like to see is a robust welfare funding for people in need. I think people who are millionaires and above don't need the PFD and shouldn't receive it. And I also think that if I won $1 million, I was trying to imagine a philosophical point on this. If I won $1 million, I could give it out to all my friends in increments, or I could build a school or a fund something that everyone could enjoy for a long time. So I think the function of government is to do things that the individual can economically. And I think right now we're depending on the government, and government is not the problem. Bad government is a problem. And we're depending on the government to fund our schools, to maintain our roads, to provide infrastructure for the development of economic growth. These are the things we need. People are leaving the state in spite of a high permanent fund. And we need to turn that around by making the permanent fund not an argument every year. Maybe a set amount. Those are my thoughts, and I appreciate you taking your time because you're my scattering there.
Thank you, Mr. Busey. Appreciate the off-the-cuff comments and thinking here. Let's see. Up next, we've got George Pierce from Kasiloff. Mr. Pierce?
Yes.
You can put yourself on the record by giving us your name and any affiliation you might have and begin your two-minute testimony.
Yeah, my name is George Pierce. I'm calling from Kasiloff, Alaska, and I'm representing myself. You know, you're talking about all this money for the school education. The government funded two COVID money, sent to schools, and big amount of that went to refurbishing the schools and sport packages. It's supposed to go for education, but instead you don't take that. And yes, we need an income tax. Everyone should pay, and it would get the people that's not yet living here to pay their fair share. We own the resources. You need to raise the taxes on gas and oil, mining, an income tax, a tourism tax, and education is a joke. All the money you're going to pay into it is not going to fix the problem.
Mr. Pierce, thank you for calling in. This public testimony period is specifically for the legislation on permanent fund dividends. Do you have any comments or opinions on the legislation before us today?
Mandated in the Constitution. And if you need resources, stop funding everybody and get rid of the subsidies. That's what you need to do for revenue. Tax the people that come up here for tourists. There's all kinds of revenue here, but you want to take a lot on the poor people and the Alaskans. You're supposed to represent the Alaskans, not hurt them by doing what you're doing down there. And raising the taxes on the oil companies. I mean, you can raise them 2-3%, and you're going to make millions. Anyway, think about the people, not the corporations. We own the resources, and we want our money. Thank you, and have a good day.
Thank you, Mr. Pierce. Appreciate your input today. Next up, we have Mr. Harold Warbridge from Anchorage. Sir, if you can put yourself on the record by giving us your name and any affiliation and begin your two-minute testimony.
Yes, good morning. Harold Warbridge. I'm representing myself and my family. I'm hearing a lot of discussion about income taxes and the origination of where the money is coming from. Folks really need to realize the every dime the state government receives is from the people. People's either the people's resources or the permanent fund investment returns. There's no magic dollar out there where the government owns anything. So every penny the government does spend is from either oil resources or from the permanent fund. So I'm not sure why there isn't a single page given to each Alaskan describing simply where the money is coming from that the state spends and where it's going. If every Alaskan realized where the money is, where it's coming from, their oil resources, I think that the message would be a lot different. That's my testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Borbridge. Appreciate you calling in today. Next up, we have Mr. Willie Keppel from Quinnahawk. Mr. Keppel, can you put yourself on the record, give us your name and any affiliation you have, and begin your two-minute testimony?
Yes, thank you. My name is Willie Keppel. I live out here in Quinnahawk. It's on the coast of the Bering Sea, small Yupik village. And I'd like to start out by saying pay the full PFD, follow the statute, and get your baseline spend back down to about $4.2 billion, where your futures and your tax revenues can actually pay for what you're providing down there without even thinking about going. And I would like to remind you that we all paid for, what was it, 3 extra special sessions here a couple of summers ago. And you folks went through just a nightmare of a time trying to come up with something on the PFD, and you never really came up with anything that anybody could actually make movement with, because you didn't want to make movement. You had a committee that spent 30 days. It was from both sides of the aisle. You had all kinds of professional testifiers come in there, and the one that struck my attention and stays with me every day, every time I hear the argument down here coming out, was you had a professional that dealt with the state budget, and he testified that the PFD is not a problem paying. You have the money to pay the PFD. You've had that money for years and years. You never needed to take from the PFD when Governor Walker decided to. You have the money going forward to pay the PFD indefinitely into time, because it never came through the legislature's fingers. It was a straight pass-through instead of you folks selecting which chunks would go here as an appropriation, which chunks would go there as another appropriation. And it was all summed up immediately thereafter, because one of the committee members was our senator from out here, Lyman Hoffman. And there was a question that was presented right after this man testified: you have the money, just pay the PFD. Senator Hoffman testified. Well, the question was, why doesn't the legislature just follow the law? And his answer was plain and simple. It's because the legislature does not have to follow the law. It's all on videotape. You guys can go back. You can look at it. And so there you are. Pay the full PFD.
Thank you, Mr. Keppel, for your comments today. Can you please wrap it up? You've reached your two-minute limit.
Oh, yes, I sure can. Thank you. I'd like to say pay the full PFD and cut spending. Thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Keppel. Next up, we have Mr. Tim Wilkins from, it looks like you're calling from Solbotna. Sir, can you put yourself on the record by giving us your name and any affiliation you might have and begin your two-minute testimony?
So I would like to say that what the previous gentleman said, I do have to agree with.
Sir, first, can you put yourself on the record by giving us your name?
Oh, my name is Tim Wilkins. I'm calling from Soldotna, and I'm representing myself. I apologize.
Thank you, sir, very much. Go right ahead.
So I'd like to say that back in 2016, when I believe it was 2015-16, when previous Governor Bill Walker was in office, and he made the decision to basically steal 50% of every man, woman, and child's eligible PFD from the people was wrong, and I never agreed with that. So, in other words, to say what we need to do is we should enshrine the PFD in the state constitution. That can be done. And the other thing is that what we really need to do is, as a people, as a person, I am informed all the time as to balance my budget and live within my budget, and I firmly believe that the state of Alaska needs to do the same. Because if we have the money and we have the resources, then we should all have a budget and we should stay within that budget and not take money from one place and take it to another place unless you're going to replace the money that you took in the first place. So that's how I feel about it, and I'm all about what Governor Dunleavy wants to do. It sounds like he's a pretty level-headed guy, and that's kind of my opinion on the whole thing.
Thank you, Mr. Wilkins, for your opinion today. Appreciate it. Next up, we have Ms. Pauline Hessing calling from Anchorage. Ma'am, if you are on the line, you can give us your name and any affiliation you might have and begin your two-minute testimony.
Thank you. I am on the line. I'm Pauline Hessing. I'm in Anchorage, and I'm speaking for myself. And the first thing I'd like to say is thank you for talking about what's to happen with the PFD. One of the wastes of money that I see in government is how much time is spent in the legislature talking about how much money will be given to the people directly instead of resolving some of the larger problems we have. I would encourage you to limit the people receiving a payment of $1,000 a year. Anything over that, according to a calculation that you can come up with, would be considered the people's money that they are paying back to the state to use for state maintenance. We don't pay an income tax, and this would be one way to have something function like an income tax, but is called something differently. And that's really all I have to say. It's a sticky problem. People talk about their money being stolen. It's not their money. It's all of our money. And I think if we limit it to $1,000 a year, it will also be less of an enticement for people who have no money to come up here and get so-called free money. So thank you for your hard work and your time.
Thank you, Ms. Hessing, for your comments today. Okay, as I check the roll here, it looks like we do not have anybody in the queue for additional comments. Let me check with the staff here. Nope, looks like we do not. So I think we will take an at-ease here for a minute. We're back on the record. We do not have anybody in queue to give testimony. We have noticed the meeting for public testimony till 11 o'clock today. So we will take an at ease here to see if there are going to be anybody else calling in. If there nobody else calls in by 10:30, then we will adjourn for the day. So we are adjourned here for you have a question, Representative McCabe?
So I do have a question. So one of the things I think if we're going to stop testimony because nobody's here rather than us waiting around, I think that people need to be aware that the plans for this committee are to have lots of public testimony and lots of public input, as we have discussed as a committee before. So you can also email your testimony. There will be lots of opportunities if we don't get any more today. One of the reasons we're holding meetings at night is so people can testify, and Saturday. So I just wanted to sort of put that on the record for folks.
Thank you, Representative McCabe. You are absolutely correct. This is not the last time to have public testimony on the PFD bills or any of the other subjects that we'll be discussing over the next few weeks. Point well taken. Representative Crow, did I see you had a question? Okay. All right, then we will be at ease. Okay, we are back on the record at, looks like, 10:31. We have a few more folks that have called in and would like to share their testimony. So we will go right to the line here. First up is Mr. Leonard Miller calling in, it looks like, from Homer. Mr. Miller, if you are on the line, can you please begin your testimony by giving us your name and any affiliation you might have and begin your two-minute testimony?
Yeah, this is Leonard Miller from Homer, Homer resident. Yeah, as far as the proposed amendments or bills, I could possibly support 7 and 8, but I need more information. And so my concern with many of these proposed bills dealing with the Alaska Permanent Fund is without a good deal of study and legal understanding and intuition, the ordinary resident will find it difficult to make an informed decision. So, but I feel like we can make informed decisions when we support candidates who fight to preserve what's good and fair, and that's one reason Homer area residents have been so supportive of Representative Sarah Vance. But as far as what's good and fair with the permanent fund goes, I think it's that residents share in the fund wealth because it encourages us to do just what I'm doing now, and that is to provide, fight to preserve the principal and the permanent fund dividend. Since we don't get, we don't have mineral rights, at least the vast majority of Alaska residents don't, the earnings are part of our corporate royalty. So I think it's good to remember former Governor Jay Hammond's administration's vision for the permanent fund was that Alaska residents would share in the earnings so we'd stay engaged in limiting the growth of government. And that's just what many of us have been doing ever since. I don't know what else to say. Don't steal the residents' royalty. And that's pretty much all that I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Miller, for your comments today. Next up, we have Ms. Lila Henderson from Nikiski. Good morning. Can you please put yourself on the record by giving us your name and any affiliation and begin your two-minute testimony?
Thank you. I'm Lila Henderson. I'm calling from Nikiski, Alaska. I'm a Republican, and I just wanted to call in about the bills that are coming up about the PSD. I totally do not support HB 72 or HB 90 because of the feeling of PSD. I do completely, I think I backed HJR 8 and parts of 7. I'm not clear on all of it, but I would say that I'm in favor of constitutionalizing the PSD for sure. I do feel like that the state is getting where they're stealing more and more, and they aren't letting people have their royalties like the guy before just said. So I just wanted to call in and thank you for your guys' work there. That's all I've got. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Henderson. I appreciate it. Next up, we have Mr. James Squires from rural Deltana. Mr. Squires, if you can put yourself on the record by giving us your name and any affiliation you might have, and begin your two-minute testimony.
My name is James Squires. I am from rural Deltana. I support the full statutory PFD. I have for many years. Many people over numerous years have testified endlessly in support of the full statutory PFD. People are kind of wearing thin. I've listened to many testimonies over many years, and I want all of you to think about all the people that have testified before, and just because they're not storming your committee meeting right now doesn't take away from their testimony in the past. They were full for the full statutory PFD then, and I'm sure they probably are now. I do not support putting the POMV in the Constitution, nor rolling the earnings reserve into the permanent fund. What's the difference between the statutory PFD that was not paid in the past and the refundable oil and gas tax credits that were not paid, yet so many efforts have been made to pay off the refundable oil and gas tax credits? Rolling the earnings reserve into the permanent fund puts a nail in the coffin of the PFD payback, which is still owed to everybody in the state. In fact, we need to repeal SB 26. SB 26 was the bill to put the POMV in the statute, and that needs to be repealed. Unfortunately, last year, the governor had the POMV PFD in his budget, and there was no effort or no desire to repeal SB 26 other than the bill that Representative Eastman put out to repeal SB 26, and nobody got on board with that, which is a shame, because if we want to get back to where we were, we need to kind of unravel what's taking place. Putting the POMV into the Constitution along with the full PFD in the Constitution puts a squeeze on any funds that are available to fund government. So that's too much of a squeeze, and your opponents are not going to be able to tolerate that. So that's going to decrease its likelihood to getting through. And that concludes my testimony for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Squires, for calling in today. Next up we have, looks like Gene Holt from Lake Louise. Can you please put yourself on the record by giving us your name and any affiliation you might have and begin your two-minute testimony?
Okay, I'm Gene Holt from Palmer, Alaska. I'm calling you from Lake Louise. And this is for myself, my husband, and my grandson. Hopefully we don't get disconnected. We are not for any of the four bills, HB 72, 97, and 9. Government has taken away our freedoms. The PFD is enshrined in our Constitution, and we can keep this real simple. You know, there's a lot of people that aren't in favor of taking away the PFD, which is ours. And we're in total opposition. Keep it simple and don't mess around with the PFD. All these other subcommittees that I've been watching and all the money that's needed for these, it does not need to come out of the PFD. And, save the PFD in the comment.
Thank you, Ms. Holt, for your comments today. Okay, I don't see any other callers online. Do you have any others in the queue? There's one more that we're waiting to get a hold of. So we'll take a brief at ease. Record, and we got a hold of Gary McDonald had called in and was in the queue, and now he's should be ready to go. Mr. McDonald, if you can give us your name and any affiliation you might have and begin your two-minute testimony, that would be great.
Yep, Gary McDonald, and I'm just speaking for myself. I've always been for the regular formula that we had, and that's what I want to see, the regular formula that we had for almost 30 years. And that's mainly it. I do know, like last year when I called in, the union members would call because they want all that money to go to them and their furnitures and all that stuff. So I just want to say, that's about it. That's all I got to say. I just want it back to the regular formula that we had for 30 years. It worked fine. Thank you very much. Thanks for being there today.
Thank you, Mr. McDonald, for calling in and participating. It is great to hear your voice. Okay. Looks like we've got another. There's another name come in. Okay. Let's see here. Mr. Ryan Broussard is on the line. Mr. Broussard, if you can hear me.
I can. How you doing?
Good. Please put yourself on the record by giving us your name and affiliation, if you have any, and begin your two-minute testimony.
Okay, no affiliation. Name is Ryan Broussard, Nikiski, Alaska. Yeah, I haven't been paying attention or listening to the conference. I don't have service here, but just a couple. I guess one solution option. I'm not sure if this is even possible. But I called into the PFD a couple times to the management section and trying to figure out how many veterans and active, I guess not veterans, but active military are getting the getting current PFDs. When I was in boot camp, first thing they tell you is like, well, go to Alaska, do a short tour there, and you can collect PFDs the rest of your 20-year career. And tons of people do it. So now that's the goal in the Army, Air Force, I guess probably most branches. So it's highly recommended you do that. You get your PFDs for the rest of your tour or your 20 years, and then you carry that with you. And so, you know, it doesn't matter what base you go to all across the country. I was in Virginia, and there's Alaska plates everywhere. In Japan, people collecting PFDs, you know, and I support our military. I'm military right now, but I know they're taking advantage of us in that area there. So it's something I've tried to look into, and I can't find numbers. It's always concerned me. I think that a huge percentage of our PFDs are going out of state and out of the country. And that system's being abused with veterans. And, you know, like I said, I think we all want to support our veterans, but we don't want to be taken advantage of. So that needs looked into. Another thing, I'm just, my whole family here, we've used, you know, depended on the PFDs for all these years. And so it needs to be the old traditional, method, the same formula we've used forever. I think we should stick with it and stop tapping into it for government waste. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Broussard, for your comments today. Okay, looks like we do not have any other callers in the queue here. So we will take a brief at ease. Okay, back on the record, we do not have anybody in the queue, but seeing as it's about 20 minutes till the top of the hour, and that was the time that we were going to end public testimony, we're going to remain in on the record, or I'm sorry, we're going to remain in committee, but we're going to go to at ease to see if there's going to be anybody else call in. So we will do that. And I want to throw the numbers out there if you are listening and don't know how to get a hold of us. The numbers to call from Juneau are 907-586-9085. From Anchorage, you may call in at 907-563-9085. And anywhere else in the state, you can call in at 844-586-9085. We'd love to hear from you today. Please let the record reflect that our rules chair, Mr. Representative Craig Johnson, has joined us here at quarter till 10:45. And we'll be at brief at ease. Back on the record at 10:47, we have another Alaskan that wants to provide some testimony. So we're going to go to Laura Heckert. Ms. Heckert, it says here that you're calling from Homer or from Homer. If you can put yourself on the record by giving us your name and any affiliation you might have and begin your two-minute testimony.
I'm Laura Heckert, and I would like HJR7 to pass and HJR8 to pass. I'm for both of those. And HB38 to limit appropriations to pass. And I think that's all I have to say right now, but I definitely want a full PFD payout by the formula that was originally set up.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Heckert, for your comments today. I appreciate it. Anyone else on the queue? Okay. We'll be at ease. Okay, we're back on the record at 10:52 a.m., and we have a caller from Anchorage, Mr. William Reiner, if I pronounced that correctly. Sir, can you put yourself on the record by giving us your name and any affiliation you might have and begin your two-minute testimony?
Yes, I can. My name's William Reiner. I'm testifying for myself, and I'm testifying from Anchorage, Alaska.
Please go ahead with your comments.
Yes. I'm for H.R. 8. And the other ones that are on the committee's consideration right now, I don't have much use for H.R. 72 or H.R. 90. H.R. 7 and H.R. 9, I'll address H.R. 9 directly. That was put in there. I saw the testimony earlier on the representative that's on the committee explaining it. And I heard the recent testimony, so there's probably no need for that. It just muddies the water, in my opinion. But I've been here in Alaska since 1976. I saw the initiation of the permanent fund, Governor Hammond's addressing, speaking about all the particular items involved at that time, which oil was in Alaska, in the Cook Inlet, long before the PFD was brought into a fad or a use for the legislature. There was a lot of economic changes at that time. So as it's progressed, I'm followed the Zobels and their case with the Supreme Court, and I'm leaning toward that decision that the United States Supreme Court has made. I sent an email and thought I would back up this with public testimony. So I appreciate the opportunity to speak my mind regarding the amount of time that this PFD and its royalties has been going on for the mineral and gas. I'm non-indigenous, so there's a 1948 law that keeps me from having access to any minerals or oil or gas on any property I own. So with all that said, I'd like to thank you gentlemen for giving me the opportunity to speak today.
And ladies, we do have two ladies here too. Thank you, Mr. Reiner, for calling in. I appreciate you participating on this Saturday. And next up, we'll go to Mr. Joel Sigmund calling from Wasilla. Mr. Sigmund, if you are there, please put yourself on the record by giving us your name and your affiliation, if you have any, and begin your two-minute testimony.
Yeah, it's Joel Sigmund, and I'm all for the HJR7. The way it was read up and pray, I wanted to get a full permanent fund because you guys, I find out about this stuff like 2 days, a day before any of this ever happens. You don't put it out there for the public to know what's going on. Against all that, people need to know what's happening with you guys. And I'm tired of you wanting to always steal our money. We've had these meetings so many times already, and it's like you guys ain't listening to what we're saying. And the money you guys are already getting, you can't even budget that right, so why do you want more? Why should you budget my money when you can't even budget yours? I think everyone should get the full permanent fund. The way it was written up, it's supposed to be permanent, and you guys need to keep your fingers out of it. You know, quit hurting the little person that's struggling up here, that's lived up here all their lives. And, you know, all you want to do is take. Quit taking from the people. Give the money to the people where it belongs. I know you wouldn't want us to have our fingers in your bankroll. You'd be in the same boat we are, and it'd be sinking. So that's about all I got to say, but you guys need to leave the permanent fund alone and give us the full PFD and leave it at that. And I wish you guys would start listening to us so we don't have to keep having these hearings over and over and over again. Thank you, and you have a good day.
Thank you, Mr. Sigmund, for calling in on this Saturday. Next up, we have Ms. Sybil Curry calling in from Nikiski. Ms. Curry, if you can put yourself on the record by giving us your name and any affiliation you might have, and give your two-minute testimony.
Hi, good morning. I'm Sybil Curry, and I live in Nikiski. I've lived in Alaska almost 20 years, and I'm a legal immigrant from a socialist country, and I'm an American citizen. I was a veteran in law enforcement, and my grandparents and parents survived Nazi Germany, and part of my father's family died in place in Blitzkrieg. So and what's happening to America now is horrible. And also, the financial crash now of several banks, oh, my goodness. So what I'm saying is, I have lived here long enough and dealt with the PFD dance. It's terrible. Come on now. We want our originally statutory determined PFD for all eligible American citizens. And please put it in the Alaska Constitution. No more. We are so tired of this back and forth, and we really appreciate you, Ben Carpenter, and everybody who's working for the people, so we can keep our money. Okay? So anyhow, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak, and you all have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Sybil, for calling in today. Really appreciate you participating on this Saturday. All right, looks like we do not have any callers listed here. Do we have any in the queue? Okay. Well, that brings us to the end of this committee meeting. It is just shy of 11 a.m. So before we go, I want to remind the public that you can submit written testimony to the committee by email. The email address is house.ways.and.means. That's a mouthful. house.ways.and.means@akleg.gov. And that written testimony will be submitted to the record, and it will be given to each one of the members here on the committee. And with that, there is no other business to come before the committee. We are adjourned as of 11 a.m.